Nelson, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's not waste any time. Joining us now, he's got the most popular Twitter account in the state of Utah right now, Frank Saravalli, the hockey insider and president of hockey content for Daily Faceoff. Frank, I know it's a busy time for you. Thanks for carving out a few moments for you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Great to be in Salt Lake. I think this is the first interview I've done, so really looking forward to I think we're going to be talking a lot.
The status update, you're sending out tweets right and left on what's going on right now with the NHL, with Ryan Smith and the ownership group in Phoenix. Give me your odds on what you think is going to happen in terms of an NHL team playing in Salt Lake City next year.
So if you were walking into a sports book in Vegas and you were looking at the odds board, it would say, will the Arizona Coyotes franchise be playing in Salt Lake City next season? You'd probably be looking at a minus 275 next to it. This is developing rapidly. It's not done, but I'm told that they've made significant and meaningful progress on what would be the framework of an agreement to sell the Arizona Coyotes franchise ultimately to Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group and bring NHL hockey to Salt Lake City in time for puck drop in October.
Frank, I want to address one of your tweets specifically where you said sources say Yotes players have been informed that something of a verbal agreement is in place to relocate to Salt Lake City. Take us a little bit deeper into that tweet, if you would. Just is this something now where even players, front office, that they're getting some level of acknowledgement that there's a move?
Yes, and I would say that it's a step further than that, in that the NHL has sent a memo to the Board of Governors alerting them. I haven't had eyes on that memo yet, but I can tell you this. It's been sent to a very, very small circle of owners, and even some other members of the Board of Governors have not received this memo. They're trying to keep the circle tight. So there's been an acknowledgement in league circles among owners that something is happening. There is an acknowledgement to Coyotes players that something is happening. And the best way I can explain it is, because this is complicated and there's a lot of nuance to it, I do think that the two sides, or I guess you could probably include the NHL in on this, the three sides are either very close or have an actual agreement in place that basically needs to be papered and signed and lawyered. So a lot of work still to do, but it's advanced to a stage where, you know, a lot of people feel comfortable in saying behind the scenes that this is going to happen.
Do you feel like the Arizona ownership group has been given assurances that if they can acquire that land deal after this sale, that they will be given an expansion team? Is that one of the conditions in kind of forcing the sale to the Smith Group?
Well, it's not a forced sale, so I want to be clear about that. Alex Mariuolo is the owner of the Coyotes. He's doing this under his own free will. And he's, at least according to my sources, going to be paid handsomely to do it. I believe he's going to get upwards of $1 billion in order to make this sale happen. And so for someone that I believe the purchase price was in the $300 to $400 million range, that's pretty good business.
Yeah, it's not a bad return.
So I think he did okay, provided that those numbers are accurate. And I would say that, without sounding like a lawyer, I don't think assurances is the right word, but I think that there's some option there, or at least a promise from the NHL that if you get this and this done, you build an arena, you know, you provide, you have the proper funds, you have all of these things, and it's probably a pretty long checklist, that they would consider, you know, basically giving him the option to reactivate an NHL franchise that I think they're trying to retain the Coyotes name. It might even be a reboot of the Coyotes themselves in Arizona.
So, Frank, as you mentioned, our hope is that we can have you on in some level of consistency because just some background, I'm an NFL, former NFL player. I'm the voice now on the color side for the BYU Cougars. And
nice.
Scotty is the voice for Utah State. He's a college football expert. So we're all football all the time. And we really do want to learn a lot more about the NHL, become more familiar with it. In these moves, maybe whatever experience that you've got in these types of moves, is it typical that all the players, that the front office, that a lot of the management make the move with it, or is there even really a precedent set to understand what we're about to witness with the Coyotes coming to Utah and the personnel that's involved?
It's a good question, and what I would say to that is it is pretty typical for most of the quote-unquote assets, so to speak, of the team to be brought over to the next location. Like the guys that are under sort of long-term contracts that are the foundational pillars of the team, yeah, those are the players that you would expect to be playing in Salt Lake City next season if it happens. You typically, the coach and the general manager and all of those things sort of move over. I was covering the NHL in 2011 when the Atlanta Thrashers moved to Winnipeg. They ended up changing general managers. They ended up changing coaches with the ownership change. And part of that was just because the Thrashers just they didn't win. They didn't win a single playoff game in their franchise history. So I think they wanted to try and move in a different direction. What's exciting about Salt Lake, if this does happen, is I think the Coyotes are really uniquely positioned, whereas instead of wanting to start from scratch with an expansion team, if I were in Ryan Smith's shoes, I'd much rather start with the Coyotes. You've got building blocks of good players. You've got some fantastic prospects. You've got an arsenal of draft picks to deal from. And you've got a team that at least this season until January showed a ton of compete and fight. So I think they're on their way. They've got a long way to go, but if you're starting with an expansion team and just park the Vegas Golden Knights and what they were able to accomplish getting to the Stanley Cup final, their first season, this is a much better scenario to be in to reintroduce hockey to your market. I know the proud sort of minor league history that has existed in Salt Lake City. But in this case, I think this Coyotes team, it could be really good in a 2 to 3 window period of time.
Frank Saravalli joining us, hockey insider and president of hockey content at Daily Faceoff. You can follow him on Twitter at @Frank_Saravalli. All kinds of great information, and he's been tweeting like crazy in terms of the latest on this. You circled a date as a potential announcement, and again, potential, but as April 18th. Do you feel like that this could come to a head on that specific date?
I mean, all bets are off right now because we don't know how the NHL specifically is going to react to the news of today. And, you know, I don't think that they're really one to make announcements before all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. I mean, they are two attorneys that are running this league. So they don't really leave anything to chance. And I got to be honest with you in the sense that if there is a hiccup here, if there's one roadblock, so to speak, it's that there's a bunch of people in and around this transaction that seem to have some, you know, worry that Alex Mariuolo, the owner of the Coyotes, does he get cold feet? They basically just want to get signatures on this as soon as they can. And that's certainly, part of this. So April 18th was a date that was floated to me by multiple people. It just happens to coincide with the day after the Coyotes play their final regular season home game at Mullet Arena. Some people think or believe that that's when a formal announcement would be made. And obviously being 8 days from now, it lines up with the idea that these three, parties to the transaction are pretty far down the track on making something happen. It's just that until it's actually done, I was told a long time ago, it's not done.
So, Frank, are you a little bit surprised that the Coyotes haven't been shopped publicly? It feels like any time an NBA team or any team out there is open and available, it's like, all right, well, let's put it on the market. Let's see how high we can get, what bids we can get. It feels like this purchase would be one of the few and rare primary organizational purchases that is kind of under the covers and behind the scenes and done without some type of public display. Does that surprise you? And why would that be in this case?
No, it doesn't surprise me. And the answer to that is in two parts. One, Alex Mariello has been really headstrong. Everyone has counted him out and said, you can't get a new arena built. You can't get this done. His tenure as owner has been, I'd say, certainly full of question marks about business practices and how he does things. And part of that, I think, has driven him and his family to say, yeah, we'll show you. So that's one part of it. And the other part is that hockey works a little bit differently than every other sport. There's a much more behind closed doors part of it. And you can read into that whatever you want, whether you think that's positive or negative. But there's a certain aspect to getting an NHL team and getting a seat at the table that you have to kiss the ring. And the smart people that end up being successful and get entry into the club, so to speak, they find a way to navigate that path and do it on the NHL's terms. And to me, a big signal that the NHL was ready and willing to work with Ryan Smith really came that he sent out this, you know, press release back in a few months back on the same exact day, 20 minutes after the biggest sex scandal that's hit hockey. It felt to me, it felt to many neutral observers like the Smith group was lobbing some red meat out there to distract other people. And I was like, damn, he gets it. He's on board. They're following the NHL's, you know, marching orders. You don't send out a release asking for an NHL franchise or for a formal process to be started unless you are playing ball. You don't do that willy-nilly. That doesn't happen in the NHL. And so that coupled with this, you know, tweet earlier this week from Ryan Smith soliciting team names, it's another thing that I was like, okay, this is probably another check mark in the column for the team in Utah, because look, you don't do that and draw attention to yourself unless A, you have reason to, or B, you do it with the NHL's blessing. So it's an interesting league to cover, I'll say that. And I'll be real curious to see how this goes from here.
So outside of the deep pockets and knowing how to play the game, like Ryan Smith has played, as you've pointed out, what makes him as an owner in Salt Lake City in itself a desirable location for the NHL?
From this, I can't answer specifically for the NHL, but my opinion would be it's one of the fastest growing markets in the U.S. By and large, it's mostly pretty wealthy. It has a hockey history. There's clearly a sort of tech component to a lot of what is being built in Salt Lake City, too. There's people, you know, that are moving in left, right, and center, it feels like. Proximity to some other teams, the fact that there is, you know, winter activities and stuff happening around it. It's not, you know, a Sun Belt team, so to speak. And I'd also say really the deep pockets and care that Ryan Smith has shown as steward of the Utah Jazz that has really helped his case. You know, this isn't someone that they're going into this blind with. You have to remember that Gary Bettman, he's been commissioner in the NHL for a long, long time, the longest reign of any commissioner in major pro sports, but he cut his teeth in the NBA before he came over to the NHL. And so he's got friends that would be able to vouch for, hey, this is how Ryan Smith is. This is how he does business. It's not hard to go through a vetting process. So you take all those things and you smash them all together, and it's also right place, right time. It's helping out a league that's in need of an exit ramp, and they're providing that in a building right now in Delta Center, and in the future with either a building that's done in concert with the 2034 Olympics or just Smith goes out and does it on his own. But there's tons of runway for this team to hit the ground running and be successful. And I also think the idea that they sort of rid themselves and rebrand the toxic name that was the Coyotes is going to be hugely important right off the hop.
So, Frank, you know, we've got a lot of rumors around here of Major League Baseball potentially in the future, and we've all been paying attention to that. I did some study on Major League Baseball and the money it takes to compete and the way the Major League runs their cap. I'm obviously very aware of the NFL cap and how hard that is. Covering the Jazz, I know what their cap situation, what type of money it takes to compete. When we're talking about Ryan Smith and the Smith Group ownership, what type of money does it take to be competitive in the NHL? Is it overspending? What type of cap structure is there? And do you feel like, I know you mentioned that the Coyotes' current structure and some of the things that they've got stockpiled could be competitive here in 3 years, but what type of money and connection does it take to be successful in the NHL?
Well, it's a hard cap environment. So unlike baseball, which doesn't have a cap, and unlike the NBA, which has different thresholds and luxury tax ribbon, so to speak, and the NFL, you can kind of continue to maneuver, and there's all sorts of machinations in place to restructure contracts. The NHL doesn't have that. So this year, the maximum that you could spend in the NHL is $83.5 million. Mm-hmm. Next year, it's going to be 87.7. You know what the number is probably even 2 years from now. It's another 5% tacked on top of 87.7. And you can spend to that limit and really no more. So, and once you're locked in with contracts, they're all guaranteed. The contract is what it is. So, you know what your cap structure is like. So to answer that in just a pure, sort of firm way, the range is somewhere between, I think the floor this year, the minimum you can spend is 62 something and the max is 83.5. You know, there's your sweet spot. And to be successful, 15 to 20 of the teams, if not more than that, are all spending to the very limit and maxing that out. So that's what it's going to take from a payroll perspective. But between, all the other ancillary parts of your business, if you're successful, you're making money. And if not, I'd say the teams that draw the least in a gate-driven league that the NHL is, the teams that have the smallest TV contracts, all those other things, in a bad year, those owners are cutting checks in the worst-case scenario for $25 to $50 million. On top of the payroll that you spend. So it can be expensive, but done the right way and with the assurances that the NHL cap system provides, it's a really attractive business model for someone to jump into, even someone that might not know hockey.
Well, we're obviously going to take a deep dive into this team and take a closer look. In terms of cap situation, you mentioned that the Coyotes have a good young nucleus. They've got a bunch of assets coming in terms of the draft. How are they looking? You know, when you lay that out, it sounds like they're in a pretty good situation cap-wise. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you've got an owner that wants to spend, the Coyotes are in great shape. They don't have a single defenseman under contract next season. Some people might be scared of that. Others might view that as opportunity. They've managed that prudently. They don't have any sort of anchor contracts, so to speak, guys that are dragging down your books, and they've got a pretty young core and nucleus that is really just beginning to scratch the surface. A lot of their best players and prospects are just breaking into pro hockey, and the future is really bright. Like I said, I couldn't be more impressed with what Bill Armstrong as their GM is putting together. And what's been, think about all the rumors and innuendo that's been surrounding this team for years. It's maybe the hardest place in the league to work. What happens if all of a sudden you swap that situation out and you're playing in sparkling Salt Lake City and all of a sudden it's a place that people really want to be? That could just totally change the dynamic of and trajectory of this franchise and what it might look like.
I just want to talk a little bit more about that transition of the Atlanta Thrashers to the Winnipeg Jets back in 2011. When it moved to Winnipeg, How long did it take for Winnipeg to adjust and get competitive? And I know, I'm sure, different market, and obviously they've probably got more affiliation with hockey than Salt Lake City, but how long did it take for them to get competitive?
A few years. They moved in 2011, and it took all the way until 2015 to make the playoffs. I'd say this Coyotes team is much further along than the Thrashers slash, you know, next iteration of what the Jets looked like. I think it would be reasonable to expect playoffs in 2 to 3 years, so cut that timeline down in half. And then what's been impressive about the Jets playing in such a small market since then has been, and truly one of the NHL's outposts. It's not only is it small, it's cold as hell, it's in the middle of the prairies, and it's not really near anything else. So it certainly has its sort of detractors in terms of trying to recruit players, specifically free agents. But for the last 10 years we're going on now, the Jets have been one of the very most competitive teams in the NHL. They've lost in the conference final. They've made the playoffs more than they've missed. They're vying for a Central Division title this year again. So I think in terms of success story and what the move does, the to me, it's the energy that the Jets brought to the league. It was like, man, we're going back to Winnipeg. This is a real hockey market. You go from Arizona to Salt Lake, I think you've seen the developments in Vegas and in Seattle for the NHL since. This is going to be, if this happens, a real shot in the arm for the NHL. It's going to be a shot in the arm for Salt Lake City. And I think it's going to become a destination. Everyone that I know that visits Salt Lake City can't say enough good things about it, and where it's heading as a market. I'd be real curious to find out what NHL players think of that in terms of a place to play and live.
I'm just throwing something out, you know, in terms of if you haven't heard anything, that's totally fine. But have you heard anything from the league in terms of, and demands isn't the right word, but expectations on Ryan and the Smith Entertainment Group on either renovating the Delta Center or building a new building on a timeline like we need this done by 2 years from now or 3 years from now? Is there expectations on when they want that to get accomplished, to have a permanent hockey-centric home for this NHL team?
No, I think it's a little premature. Building a more suitable arena is certainly going to be at the top of the list, but I think at some point, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know everything there is to know about Delta Center, but it seems like, you know, early kind of 90s, mid 90s-ish arena that at some point is going to need replacing in and of itself for the Jazz. I know they've pumped some money in terms of renovations and whatnot, but we know it's not suited for hockey. Yeah. I've seen the preseason games there that the Kings have played. I get it. But I don't think that the NHL, they wouldn't go into this saying, get an arena up and built in 5 years or else. Certainly would be a priority, but they'd go into it knowing, hey, it's not just the Jazz. It's not just whatever they name this NHL team. There's also the 2034 Olympics potentially that plays into this as well, that I think there's certainly some runway in order to making that happen that the NHL would be flexible with. And no matter what anyone tells you, I don't care what Delta Center looks like with hockey, it's a whole hell of a lot better than Mullet Arena and 4,600 seats. So even if it's 11,000 to start or whatever it might be, if it's 11,000 rabid fans that are spending money, that is a win in the column for the new team in Salt Lake, if that happens, right off the hop.
Well, Frank, I just followed the Daily Faceoff. I followed you on Twitter so that I can kind of follow what you're talking about and paying attention to. Some hot tweets just coming off the wire for Frank, and if you've been paying attention to it, it's just heating up. As we just kind of wrap things up, Frank, just kind of reiterate your thoughts on the likelihood of the Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City.
I would say it's well down the track. I believe that they've got either the framework of an agreement in place or they are closing in on the framework of an agreement in place, and they want to get signatures. They want to get this papered. Not there yet, not done. Still potentially some hurdles, which is why you may not see the league say a ton. But I would say on the whole, I feel pretty confident about the way that this has developed to this point. It's increasingly likely with the things that I'm hearing that we could see something in as soon as the next 8 or 10 days. But buckle up. These are exciting times, and nothing like this makes it out unless it's pretty far down the track. Like, I haven't really received anything or much at all by way of denials, maybe in some of the language that's been used, but no one has said, hey, you better slow your roll. This isn't happening. People seem to be pretty optimistic. It's basically just about getting it to the finish line.
Well, Frank, I anticipate this will be the first of many conversations here in Salt Lake City. We're fired up. As soon as you get into town, Hans and I will take you all to the best restaurants, because that means we got hockey to talk about. We're fired up, man. So let's get this from a selfish standpoint. Let's get this thing across the finish line. But again, I know you're crazy busy today. Thanks for carving out some time for us.
It's going to cost you guys. It's a fair warning. I'm a big dude who likes to eat. So
hey,
I'm in.
Hey, that's three of us. And we know the hot spot. So we got you squared away, man.
Dude, I'm booking my ticket.
Let's go.
Thanks, Frank.
See you guys. Have a good one.
You got it. Frank Saravalli, hockey insider, president of hockey content for Daily Faceoff. Follow him on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Frank_Saravalli. He is now the most popular Twitter account in Utah because he has been dishing the news this morning right and left.